Our first reading for this morning is going to come from the book of Acts. We'll be reading from chapter 2 in the book of Acts, verses 43 through 47. And it's found on page 949 of your pew Bibles. At this time, let us listen to God's word for us. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and distributed them to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they partook of food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Our gospel reading will come from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from the 17th chapter of Luke's Gospel. And we'll be reading from verse 5 through verse 10 of the 17th chapter of Luke's Gospel. It is found on page 910 of your pew Bibles. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this sycamine tree, 'Be rooted up and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and sit down at table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me and gird yourself and serve me till I eat and drink, and afterward you shall eat and drink'? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that is commanded you, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.'" It's the word of the Lord. Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many of us are aware that faith is not something that we give ourselves, but it comes to us as a gift from God. It's not to say that we don't encounter any challenges in our faith journey. We all have our challenges when it comes to faith. Even Jesus' earliest followers had their faith challenges. It's often kind of easy for us to make fun of Jesus' earliest disciples. The gospel writers often paint them in a very negative light. They're often depicted as slow, as dull-witted, as clueless, faithless. But in many respects, like Abraham in the Old Testament, they were paragons of faith. They were people who themselves had left everything, families and careers, in order to follow Jesus. And following Jesus wasn't always easy. Jesus often had some very hard things to say and hard things for them to believe in. Ever since chapter 9 in Luke's gospel, when Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem, he had some very difficult things to say to his disciples. He has told them not to worry about anything. Don't be anxious about your life, about what you're going to eat, about what you're going to wear, but be the kind of people who place your faith and trust in God. That's hard for anyone to hear. It's hard for us to hear today too, but this is what Jesus told his disciples in the 13th chapter of Luke's gospel. And then Jesus told them about the pursuit of money. Far from being an anchor that can secure and guarantee our lives, Jesus tells them that money is actually the root of all evil, the source of division and inhumanity, and therefore they shouldn't spend their lives trying to accumulate it, but are called to be responsible to one another, taking care of one another. And that's difficult too, It's hard for us to hear in our day and age, hard for us to believe that money does not anchor our lives, that money cannot bring us security, that money cannot guarantee our lives. And then right before our text this morning, Jesus stresses the importance of forgiveness. He tells them that they must be willing to forgive someone who has wronged them, not just once, but seven times if necessary. Imagine that, being the kind of people who can forgive again and again and again. That's difficult. It's difficult for Jesus' earliest disciples, and it's difficult for us as well. I imagine that the disciples, in hearing all of this, was just a bit overwhelmed. I imagine them saying, Lord, we'd like to believe all of that. We'd like to believe in what you're telling us. We'd like to believe in this vision that you are bringing before us. We'd like to believe that we can live worry-free, that we can live lives that aren't anxious about what we're going to wear and what we're going to eat. We'd like to believe that money is not the anchor of our lives. We'd like to believe in forgiveness and reconciliation. We'd like to believe all of that. We'd like to believe those things, but it's just hard for us to do that. It's hard for us to believe that. So, Lord, please increase our faith. Help us to believe these things. Help us to be the kind of people, the kind of community that can live the way that you are asking us to live, the way that you are commanding us to live. Increase our faith. Maybe you too have some faith challenges this morning. Not because you are faithless or clueless, but because you are human. Maybe there are some things out there that you find hard to believe. You want to believe it. You want to take it deep down inside of your hearts. You want to believe it, but it just sounds impossible. Sounds fantastic. You know the way the real world is. I confess that from time to time, I'm challenged in my own faith. One of the challenges for me comes every first Sunday when we say together the Apostles' Creed. You know, we say some pretty remarkable things when we recite together the Apostles' Creed. We recite together that we believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We say that we believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, dead, buried, and on the third day he raised from the dead. Along with Christians around the world, we profess that, we believe that. And like most of you, all of you, I hope I have no problem with any of that. I believe all of that. I take that all deep down inside of my heart. But the part of the creed that I have trouble with is right near the bottom, where it says, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints. That's when I say, uh-oh, I'm going to need some help with that. Lord, I want to believe that, but please increase my faith. I want to believe that we Christians everywhere are one. That's what the word Catholic means. It means one. I want to believe that we are all part of the same body, the body of Christ. I want to believe that we are united with Christians around the world in places like Egypt and Palestine, in places like Korea and the Philippines, in places like India and Pakistan, in places like Africa and South America. I want to believe that we are all one. I want to believe that. The problem is that I know how terribly, terribly divided we followers of the Lord Jesus Christ are. We have all kinds of obstacles that prevent us from being one. Traditionally, we've been divided between those Christians who live in the East and those Christians who live in the West. Some of the oldest Christian communities in the world are those Christian communities in places like Egypt and Palestine. And many of us Christians in the West don't even aren't even aware that there are Christian communities in places like Egypt and in places like Palestine and in the West Bank. In the West, we've been divided by Catholics and Protestants. I know some Protestants who find it hard to believe that our Catholic brothers and sisters are actually Christian, and vice versa. And among us Protestants, we are divided by all kinds of denominations, Presbyterians and Baptists and Methodists and Episcopalians and Lutherans. And of course, within denominations, we are divided further. There are conservative churches and progressive churches, evangelical churches and mainline churches, black churches and white churches. We are divided by all kinds of things. But mostly, I think, we are divided by the hardness of our hearts. We are divided by our unwillingness to trust and believe in the kingdom vision that Jesus has set before us, the vision of love and peace and forgiveness and care, the vision that overcomes our dividing walls and barriers. And so, yes, I want to believe. I want to believe that we are one. I want to believe that we are one body. I want to believe that. Lord, increase my faith. Help me to believe in and to live into the oneness that you desire for all of your people. You know, Jesus says something that's really quite remarkable in our text this morning. Jesus says that in order to change things, in order to believe in and live into what seems impossible, in order to become the one holy Catholic people that God has called us to be, it really doesn't take a whole lot of faith. All it takes is just a little bit of faith. Faith about the size of a mustard seed. I'm sure you've all seen a mustard seed. When I was growing up, we used to wear mustard seeds around the neck, encased in some kind of necklace around the neck, just a little bitty thing, a little bitty mustard seed. And Jesus says, that's all the faith that you need. If you have just the faith of a mustard seed, you can do wonderful things. You can do great things. You can do big things. You can do things that you never even imagined. If you just have a little bit of faith, you can alter the landscape. You can move mountains. You can uproot trees. You can overcome walls and barriers. You can overcome the things that divide you, that divide us, if you just have just a little bit of faith. Jesus isn't chastising his disciples for their lack of faith. He is encouraging them. He knows that they have faith. He knows that, one, because they've already made a decision to follow him, like all of us have made a decision to follow him. And he knows it because God always gives us more than what we need. What Jesus wants for his disciples then, and what he wants of his disciples today, is for us to exercise the faith that we already have. That's the point of telling the story about the hardworking servants who simply do their duty. What Jesus is saying here is, don't start asking for more faith. Don't start asking for more faith in order to believe in and do what you believe is currently impossible. Just start doing your duty. Just start acting faithfully. You'll be surprised at what you can believe in and what you can achieve if you just start acting faithfully. If you just start doing your duty. If you want to deepen your faith and even grow your faith, you have to do faith. That's what Jesus is telling us in our text this morning. If you want to be a more forgiving person, if you want to be a more forgiving community, the kind of person and community that can forgive not just once, not just twice, but multiple times, just start praying for people who have hurt you and offended you and wronged you. Not only praying for them, but actually start forgiving them. You don't actually have to start out big. You don't have to start out being the kind of person who can forgive everyone seven times, but just start small. Start forgiving people. Start acting like you forgive someone. Just start acting like you forgive them, and pretty soon you'll start becoming a forgiving person. You'll actually start living into your actions. Start doing the faith. Start acting faithfully. If you want to be a loving person, the kind of person that loves people, the kind of person that reaches out and cares for people, then just start acting lovingly. Start loving people, acting lovingly towards those in the community, and acting lovingly towards those around you. And pretty soon you'll actually start living into that. You'll actually start becoming a loving person. And if you want to be the kind of community that really believes that we are one with fellow Christians around the world, then start being intentional about doing things together with other Christians, with Christians who are different from you. Start worshiping together and praying together and breaking bread together. You know, one of the most spiritual things that we can do is to break bread together. Whenever we think of spirituality or doing something spiritual, we think of praying and we think of fasting. But one of the most spiritual things that you can do is to share a meal with someone, to break bread with someone. That's why in the Gospels, Jesus is constantly at table with people. He's constantly breaking bread with people. Breaking bread with his disciples, breaking bread with Pharisees, breaking bread with sinners. It's actually one of the most spiritual things that you can do is to break bread and to share a meal with someone. It's often said that the family who eats together stays together. And it's also true that the congregation who breaks bread together is a congregation who stays together, a congregation who is knitted together, a congregation who learns to love each other. One of the most spiritual things you can do is to break bread. And if we really want to be the kind of people that believe in the oneness of the church, that believes in the oneness of the body, then we ought to break bread with one another. We do that here at Alney all the time. We love to eat. Pastor Roger, I know you guys at the Philadelphia Bible Church love to eat. In fact, you love to eat more than we do here. You eat every week. But one of the most spiritual things that we can do is to share a meal with one another. And that's why we are here this morning on this World Communion Sunday. Together with Christians all over the world, we come to the table. It's not our table that we come to. It's not the table that we have prepared. It's not the nourishment and the sustenance that we've placed on the table, but it's the Lord's table. And we come to this table not just for our own nourishment, but to discern the body, to discern the whole body of men and women around the world, the body of Christ, those who faithfully bear witness to who Jesus is. We come to this table and we remember our Lord. Every time we come to the table, we remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Every time we come to the table, we remember the great sacrifice that he underwent for our behalf. We remember how he was broken and how he gave himself away for the sake of the whole world. And every time we come to the table, we also remember that we are part of one big body, that we are one with Christians all over the world, that we are one in our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are one in our love, that we are one in our forgiveness to each other, that we are one community, that we belong to each other. We are reminded this morning on this World Communion Sunday that we are not just a collection of individuals, that we are not just Christians divided by race or by culture or by class, that we are not communities that are defined by our denominational affiliation, that we are not Christians that are defined by where we live, but we are defined by the fact that God loved us and God continues to love us, that God loved us enough to send his Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to die for us, to be broken for us. And that's our main identity. It may be hard for us to believe that. We might need faith in order to believe that. It may be hard to believe that we actually are one. It may be hard for us to believe that we are one with Christians, Arab Christians in Egypt and in Palestine. It may be hard to believe that we're actually one with Christians in South Korea. It may be hard for us to believe that we are one with Christians in Africa. We look so divided, and so we say, Lord, increase our faith. Help us to believe that. But the word comes back that we already have all the faith that we need, not only to believe that, but to start living into it. We already have all the faith that we need. The question is not increase our faith, but to help us live into the faith that we already have. That's what this sacrament, the sacrament of the Lord's table, is all about. It is a gift given to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is one of the ways that we do the faith, one of the ways that helps us remember that we are one. We are one in spirit, we are one in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we are one big community, the body of Christ, who love God and who love one another, because we are one holy Catholic Church. Amen.